Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Shadow of the Osprey, Frontier, Book 2, written by Peter Watt and read by John Vose. Prologue, 1868. The island was a green-shelled turtle floating on a turquoise sea. At least, that was David McIntosh's first impression of the distant island. The 26-year-old heir to a financial empire stood at the bow of the blackbirding bark Osprey and watched the jungle-clad island rise and fall on the horizon. Of medium height and clean-shaven, he had the bearing of one born to wealth, but he also had an unpretentiousness that made him likable. Against the wishes of his mother, Lady Enid McIntosh, David had sailed on one of the family's ships to observe village life in the South Pacific. Although she had informed him of her premonition of a terrible risk to his life should he sail on the Osprey, he had gently chided her for her foolish and unfounded fears. But his mother had succumbed to the superstitions concerning an ancient and obscure Aboriginal curse on the family. He still vividly remembered the anguish in her normally serene face as he waved from the deck before the Osprey pulled away from the wharf in Sydney. Now, standing at the bow and gazing at the island, her fears were far from his thoughts as he anticipated the chance to observe at first hand a culture older than Western civilization itself. The arrival of the Europeans to the Pacific Islands had brought more change in the past half century than the preceding thousands of years. Replaced by the newcomer called Jesus, the island gods were dying. The old gods now hid in the jungles, where the true believers still visited them with traditional offerings to appease their anger at being usurped. Captain Morrison Mort, the taciturn skipper of the Osprey, had informed David that the island had little contact with the blackbirders. However, the inhabitants had proved to be more warlike than most of the other islanders in the Pacific. They had in past years massacred the crews of visiting sandalwood ships. But that was back in the 50s, he had quickly reassured David, adding nevertheless that Chief Tiwi, the ruler of the island, was one of the old-style warriors who resisted the missionaries and their teachings. The ferocious old chief was usually avoided. Other island chiefs were more readily compliant with the aims of the Kanaka trade. The warlike disposition of the islanders did not deter David. He was eager to meet and observe the people whom he suspected might still adhere to many of the ancient customs. For the quiet and scholarly young man, the accumulation of knowledge was far more important than the amassing of further material wealth for his family's already vast financial interests. As David made his way along the deck to Mort, he thought he glimpsed the faintest of smiles on the Dur captain's face, but it was not a smile reflected in the man's pale blue eyes. Only a bestial madness lived there.